Welcome to the Young Turks. I'm Anna Kasparian. Joining me today is Ron Placone and our very own Jimmy Dore, the aggressive progressive. You ready to tear stuff up?
I'm ready to get it down. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's get it down. Later on in the show, we will address Jordan Sheridan, our very own Jordan Sheridan, getting arrested while he was doing his job as a journalist covering the protests in St. Louis. I spoke to him in a brief interview that we will share with you guys when we come back from our break. But we have lots of news to get to today, including the little tiff between Tillerson and Trump. It seems to really get under Trump's skin, which is always a lot of fun. And the gun debate rages on. You will not believe some of the statements coming out of Steve Scalise's mouth following the fact that he was a victim of a shooting. So we'll get to all of that. But first, how are you guys doing?
You know, there's not a lot going on in the world, so we're gonna have to really.
God, there's so much news today.
I'm enjoying the joke presidency. Are you enjoying the joke presidency? It is a joke presidency.
Not enjoying it.
You're not enjoying the real life Ricky Gervais sketch? I mean, I'm kind of feeling it. I'm kind of like, it's gotten to this point. It's cringeworthy.
Oh my God.
That's what Ricky Gervais would. He would throw out those paper towels like that if he was president in a hurricane. Here, you got a hurricane here. Here's some paper towels to wipe your tears off. Let's go.
That was unbelievable.
Bullet point one, not as bad as Katrina. I'm crushing it.
You know, but
you guys okay? Peace, I'm out.
Right. Well, the great thing is, you know, he did supply them with those big, beautiful rolls of paper towels. He's a creep. But anyway, we will get to Trump-related news later on in the hour. But first, I do want to talk a little bit about what we're hearing from members of Congress in regard to gun control. Representative Steve Scalise was the victim of an incredibly tragic shooting earlier this year when he was practicing softball with some Republican representatives, and a crazed man showed up and opened fire, attempting to kill people who were at the scene. Now, Steve Scalise was shot. He was severely injured and in critical condition, but luckily he seems to be recovering and is expected to make a full recovery. And so, following this mass shooting that occurred in Las Vegas, it would be interesting to hear what his perspective is on the issue of gun control. Has he changed his mind? Is he still an advocate of loosening restrictions to guns? Well, let's take a look at the first video and find out.
Inevitably, questions about the Second Amendment are raised by what happened in Las Vegas. It happens almost immediately. Have you, your experience of your own and what you saw in Las Vegas, has it changed how you feel about any of that?
I think it's fortified it, because first of all, you've got to recognize that, you know, when there's a tragedy like this, the first thing we should be thinking about is praying for the people who were injured and doing whatever we can to help them, to help law enforcement. We shouldn't first be thinking of promoting our political agenda. And I think we see too much of that, where people say, okay, now you have to have gun control. Well, first of all, look at some of those bills. Those bills wouldn't have done anything to stop this. I mean, the gunmen actually cleared background checks. Yeah. So to promote some kind of gun control, I think is the wrong way to approach this.
So he would have cleared background checks, to be clear. But I am not buying the argument that the only thing we should be doing right now is praying. First of all, we live in a country that is supposed to value freedom of religion, which means freedom from religion as well. So no, I don't want to pray for the victims. I feel terrible for the victims. I'd like to do something to prevent future victims. I think that, you know, it's already far too late in our inaction. And even though background checks wouldn't have impacted or affected Paddock in this case, the fact that he was able to legally purchase an item that made his semi-automatic weapon essentially an automatic weapon is a little bit of a problem. High-capacity magazines, maybe banning those would have an impact on mass shootings like this. Maybe it would lead to less carnage. But you know, it's the most incredible thing about this video and what Scalise is saying is that he himself was the victim of a shooting and he hasn't changed his mind. That NRA money is real sweet if you value it more than your own life.
Yeah. Well, I like that his idea of a smart thing to say after a tragedy is, hey, nobody try to think of solutions right now, okay? That's basically what he's saying. This isn't the time for solutions to a problem that keeps happening. What we should do is keep praying. We pray every time, right? Seems like that's not working. We're praying every time there's a shooting, there's still more shootings. But you still want to keep doing that. You just don't want to think of other solutions. This is the weirdest thing to watch grown-up elected officials almost bragging that they have no ideas on how to fix a problem. Hey, you know, that law wouldn't even have fixed it. So, you know, just keep praying. I don't have any ideas on how to fix this. I have no new solutions, nothing. This is just going to keep happening. You know, if that was a Muslim, they would start tapping your phone. Oh, wait, they already did tap our phones. Oh, they already do have every email I send. Oh, they already do have every text that I send. I already do live in a surveillance state. They already did repeal habeas corpus because of 3,000 people got killed by terrorists 16 years ago. But it happens every day. We have a mass shooting and we can't do anything about it. Why? Because corruption. And no one's going to say that word corruption. They'll say it's because of money. They'll say it's because of greed. They'll say it's because of cowardice, which it is, all those things. But what's really about is the way we run our government. Our government is run on corporate cash, which is corrupting 100%. You see it right here, right? That's what this is. That's Steve Scalise, a guy who took a bullet himself, is so corrupted. The culture is so corrupted that he knows if he stands up and does the right thing, his whole career will be shattered. So he'd rather have one of his bones shattered or somebody else shoot another part of his body to get shattered than to ruin his career. That's who Steve Scalise is. That's the kind of cretins who now fill our government from top to bottom. That's where we're at. Corruption. And Barack Obama came out after Sandy Hook and he said, you know, you got to call your senators, you got to call your congressmen, call your politician, elected officials. But he would never say because they're corrupted. And we know what the problem is. They're corrupted and we got to get money out of politics.
Absolutely.
And that's what we have to do.
So I want to jump in quickly because a lot of times the issue of gun control is presented as a left versus right issue.
Right.
Where it appears that those on the right are never in favor of any type of gun control legislation whatsoever, but that's actually not true. Now, Republicans are certainly more protective of Second Amendment rights. However, when it comes to common sense gun legislation, Pew Research shows that the majority of Republicans are actually in favor of that legislation. I want to give you some examples. Let's go to graphic 7A. So in April 2017, Pew Research Center poll found that 76% of Republicans and Republican-leaning independents believe it is more important to protect the rights of Americans to own guns than it is to control gun access, right? So that's fair. We knew that already. But what about some gun legislation that makes sense? Well, Pew found this year that 77% of Republicans favored background checks for private sales and at gun shows, and 54% favored banning assault style weapons.
Wow.
And so these statistics are important because I think it's actually incredibly unfair to allow, you know, lobbying groups and corrupt organizations like the NRA paint a picture and generalize about Republicans when in reality, a lot of Republicans out there are actually, you know, pretty reasonable when it comes to some of this gun legislation. But, you know, you'll have these Republican lawmakers who are corrupt, who are funded by either gun manufacturers or the NRA. They'll come out and say, no, there's no solution. Sorry, Second Amendment. They want to ban all your guns. That's what they want to do. They want to ban all your guns and you won't be able to protect yourself. You won't be able to stand up against a tyrannical government. Any type of excuse to, you know, maintain the current system that we have in place right now. And it's disgusting. Let's take a look at one more video. And then when we come back, Ron, I want to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
And frankly, what I experienced was when there was a shooter, luckily we had Capitol Police there with their own guns. Every single day in America, regular citizens that just have a passionate belief in the Second Amendment, that have their own guns, use guns every single day to protect themselves against criminals. And those stories never get told or hardly ever get told. But that's a different side of the story that I think is important, that people use guns way more to defend themselves from criminals than criminals using guns to hurt people.
Yeah, so if everyone at that music festival, the 22,000 people who were at that country music festival just took out their guns and started shooting at the 32nd floor of Mandalay Bay, we would have just taken out the bad guy, you know? We would have defended ourselves. I mean, come on. Anyway.
Well, I don't know. He might kind of have a little bit of a point. The other day, I was walking around in my neighborhood and I saw this nice gentleman with a gun help an old lady across the street. He was using the gun to guide her. And I thought, where's the press? I wanted to. No, I think Steve Scalise just threw a straw man out there. He must be getting ready for Halloween. And there's this weird stigma where like kind of what you were saying, Jimmy, guns is the only issue where when you bring up the solution, hey, we need a common sense weapons policy in this country. We're the only nation that's just so out of hand like this. And people are like, you're politicizing it. This is the only issue where something like that happens. Right. You never hear somebody like, man, we got to do something about real poverty. Now's not the time. There's people starving to death. Like, well, yeah, that's the point.
Can you imagine if after the World Trade Center was attacked on 9/11, if anyone had the audacity to say, no, wait a minute. No, we can't have any policy. We can't do anything to protect Americans. Mm-hmm. We need to just stop, not politicize this, and pray for people. Let's just pray for people. No, the government took action right away. In fact, the government took ridiculous, like they used that tragedy to, as an excuse to take ridiculous actions in regard to foreign policy. And, Democrats honestly just sat there and took it, which was disgusting. But in this case, you're not allowed to talk about, legislation that would prevent something like this from happening in the future. And when this story first broke, there was this feeling of despair that I had because I knew the type of discourse we were about to engage in. And that just adds insult to injury, right? It's such a tragic story. So many innocent people lost their lives that day. And while you're feeling the despair in regard to the number of people who lost their lives and the number of people who are injured, you just feel worse once you think about what's about to follow. And sure enough, this is exactly what follows.
Well, after Sandy Hook, I have no confidence in any type of common sense weapons policy in this country. I just don't, especially with the stronghold that the NRA has. Which you really don't hear anyone in the political spectrum, Republican or Democrat, because some Democrats get some of that cash too.
Absolutely.
You really don't hear them bringing that up. That the NRA just has us by the gullet. And I just after we decided it's okay for this to happen to children, I have no confidence in any common sense gun control in this country, which is very sad.
Well, the Princeton study, which we're all familiar with here, proved that we have no influence over the kind of legislation that gets passed. Who does? Moneyed interests. So that's why we don't have any gun legislation. In fact, the thing that's even crazier, Anna, is that the Republicans are trying to relax gun restrictions even now. So the last two, they wanted to make it easier for the silencers.
Yep.
And there was one other drug gun thing they wanted to relax, make it easier to buy guns. They had to postpone both of those votes in Congress because of shootings. Isn't that ironic? When Steve Scalise got shot the first time, they had to postpone that vote then, and now they had to postpone another vote because of this mass shooting. Shouldn't that be telling you something? Hey, if we have to keep postponing votes to relax gun laws because of mass shootings, maybe there's a problem with gun laws and we should increase them instead of relax them. But no, that's not going to happen. Again, we live in a banana republic. Everybody's corrupted in this goddamn government because of money and politics. And there's no better example of it than guns.
Now, there are some Democratic lawmakers that are attempting to do something about gun control. All right. It's kind of depressing because some of them are also taking a defeatist stance on it, which worries me because while we're members of the media and we feel the despair, we have elected Democrats to be leaders, and some of them are not acting as leaders. But I want to give you some examples of Democrats that have some strong statements and are really pushing for gun reform. During a press conference during a press conference today featuring Democratic members of Congress, Representative John Lewis had some strong statements in regard to gun control and those who refuse to even talk about it. Take a look.
It's no amount of blood, a pain, a death, or suffering what would move this Congress to act. We hold moments of silence and vigil. We offer our thoughts and prayers, but it's all a show, a placeholder, until people forget and this Congress can move on to rolling back restrictions on silence or making it easier for the mentally ill to purchase weapons. Don't tell me otherwise. I've been around too long. This Congress does nothing. Don't tell me. We need mental health reform. When you won't provide every American access to mental health care. Don't tell me this is about protecting the Second Amendment when you won't stand up for the First Amendment. Don't tell me this is about anything other than greed, money, and fear. I said to each one of us, to all of the members of the Congress, have courage. Be unafraid. Do your job. Bring common sense gun control legislation to a vote. We need it, and we need it now.
I love the fiery speech from Representative John Lewis. He is honestly the strongest member of Congress with his speaking style and just how aggressive he is in demanding some change following this mass shooting. Also, Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, suggested targeting kits that could legally transform semi-automatic weapons to automatic ones, which is similar to what was used by this Las Vegas gunman. They're referred to as bump stocks, legal modifications to semi-automatic rifles to help them fire more like automatic weapons. I mean, I feel like this is as common sense as you possibly can get when it comes to gun legislation. You can purchase that product online for $45. And obviously it allowed Paddock to cause much more damage than he should have been able to you know, carry out. And even though that's common sense, there's a lot of resistance from Republican members of Congress. And we're gonna get a couple of their statements in just a second.
Yeah, I mean, people love to cherry pick. I mean, you're talking about the type of weaponry. We love to forget the fact that when the Second Amendment was written, it was back when it took like maybe 20 minutes to like load your gun, and when you hit somebody with it, they said ow and had a bruise. We've advanced a lot from there. And these types of weapons, these magazines, these semi-automatic, they're not necessary to protect your home from a potential burglar. They're certainly not necessary to hunt deer. Right. So there's no reason why citizens should just be able to get them. I mean,
you know, some guys, they get their rocks off by having these fancy weapons. They go shooting with it. It makes them feel good about themselves. And so, you know, I guess our country has decided that that's more valuable than an innocent lives being taken from, you know, these crazy mass shooters. And by the way, you know, the argument that you always hear from Republicans after, Republican lawmakers specifically, after a mass shooting like this is, well, you know, the problem isn't the fact that these people can buy these crazy weapons. The problem is, you know, mental health care. We gotta provide mental health. Really? You wanna provide mental health care? We just finished months and months of Senate Republicans trying to take whatever little coverage that we have under the Affordable Care Act, which would even further minimize mental health care for Americans. Really? You care about mental health care? Hell no, you don't. The only time they care about it is when they can use it as a scapegoat so we don't talk about common sense gun legislation. That is the only time they care about it. And by the way, House Republicans passed a 20-week abortion ban because they say that they believe in the sanctity of life. You believe in the sanctity of life? How many people just got murdered because of your inaction and your protection of the NRA and other lobbying groups and weapons manufacturers that just seek to profit? And they profit off this type of carnage. It's disgusting. All right, so let's hear from these disgusting, you know, politicians. Senator John Thune, the number three Republican in the Senate, told an NBC News reporter that lawmakers ought to take a look at conversion kits that can make guns more lethal, but also suggested little could be achieved through legislation. Oh, little could be achieved through legislation. Then get the fuck out. Yeah. What are you doing? What are you doing if little can be achieved through legislation? Then you are a waste of time. You are a waste of human body within the Senate. You're worthless. Leave. I think people are going to have to take steps in their own lives to take precautions to protect themselves. And in situations like that, you know, try to stay safe. As somebody said, get small. So how are you gonna stay safe when someone has, you know, essentially an automatic weapon because of the device that he used and is shooting at a crowd from the 32nd floor of Mandalay Bay? How are you gonna stay safe? Should we all stay in our homes and never leave so we stay safe? Because, you know, legislation won't achieve anything. All right, let's hear from Mitch McConnell. look, the investigation's not even been completed, and I think it's premature to be discussing legislative solutions, if there are any. In other words, don't discuss it, and don't expect us to ever discuss it.
Yeah, there's never a good time to talk about solutions to problems, apparently, when you're a Republican leader. Let us know when that time is, Mitch. We'll meet you there at that time. There's never a good time to talk about. In fact, like I just said, Mitch McConnell's idea of gun legislation is making it easier for the mentally ill to get guns. It's making it easier for guys with psychotic minds to conceal what they're doing by using silencers.
What an embarrassment the American Congress is.
So these guys, when they go on and Mitch McConnell says things like that, oh, the legislation wouldn't help anyway. And it's like The Onion puts this out every time there's a mass shooting. They tweet out, there's no way we could stop this, says country, the only country in the world where this stuff happens. I'm paraphrasing what their headline is, but that's every time there's a mass shooting, there's no way we could ever stop this. This is the only country this happens in. You know, they decided to do something about it in Australia. Guess what? They don't have this happen in Australia. That's just a fact. Doesn't happen in the UK, doesn't happen in Canada, doesn't happen in Australia. It just happens in the United States. It's because we're a special kind of sick, I guess, or a special kind of crazy, or is it because our government is extra corrupted? I think it's that one.
And right. You know what? If Republicans believe that legislation is so useless, could they please apply that sentiment to a woman's body too?
Ah.
If legislation's so useless, just apply it to all that stuff too.
Yeah.
And all social issues and everything else.
No,
be
consistent. They love to appease their evangelical voters. And their evangelical voters love the idea of being able to control women. That's what it's all about. It's not just controlling women, it's punishing women, right? You're not allowed to have sex unless you want to procreate, okay? You're not allowed to do that as a woman. Mm-hmm. And I'm tired of them pandering to their religious base and passing these nonsensical violations of our reproductive rights while simultaneously making arguments that, hey, you know, we gotta loosen gun restrictions because, hey, Second Amendment. Let's just deal with all these mass shootings on a daily basis. Finally, just a little factoid for you that I think is relevant to the conversation. The only gun legislation on the Republicans' agenda appears to be the so-called Hearing Protection Act, a gun rights measure that would eliminate a $200 tax on firearm silencers, refund silencer tax payments back to October of 2015, and also ease restriction requirements to these silencers. And by the way, let's just really quickly emphasize what they named this legislation, the Hearing Protection Act.
Because
you know, God, all these people who shoot their guns have never been able to protect their ears in any other way. So we have to make sure they have access to silencers. How about some earmuffs? Okay, I believe a lot of people have been using those when they go hunting, when they go to gun ranges. We don't need to loosen restrictions for silencers. Anyway, I'm sorry. I don't like getting this rowdy and loud on the show, but.
Well, I don't blame you. I mean, I see acts like this that are out there, and I'm like, okay, we have failing infrastructure, education's in the toilet, healthcare is a disaster.
Right.
Let's talk about getting rid of the tax on silencers. Are you kidding me? That shouldn't be anywhere near the list of priorities.
Wow.
It's frustrating.
I'll say it here. We'll say it at the Young Turks that it's because of corruption in government. Mm-hmm. But Brian Williams won't say it, or they won't say it. Jake Tapper won't say it. Rachel Maddow won't say it. And David Muir might say it if he unbuttons one more button. God damn, that guy looks good when he's
that hair.
Oh, whew. Anyway, but that's what it is. And I think the American people need to be told that. They have to understand, oh, it's corruption. It's corruption. It's that thing they want to make you feel like there's nothing that can be done. You can't do anything about it. Oh, we can do something about it. We get rid of the corruption in our government. So maybe if we start launching that kind of idea into people's heads, it would maybe have a difference. Because right now, people just throw their hands up, right? And like,
right.
Just like you knew the exact same conversation was going to happen, and it is happening, right?
So, right. Let me give you an example of a lawmaker who is putting her hands up, and it seems like she's giving up, and it's frustrating. Representative Linda Sanchez of California says, "We're stuck. We have asked time and time again of our Republican counterparts to please engage in this discussion of how do we stop gun violence, and they are completely unwilling to do anything to help us out on that issue." Yeah, how about be a leader? okay? Democrats, be leaders. Because guess what? Republican lawmakers are not gonna work with you. They never have any interest in working with you. They don't care about bipartisanship under any and all circumstances. So be a leader. If I were a Democratic member of Congress, I would fund a campaign that shows the bloody, gruesome reality of these mass shootings on a daily basis. Okay, there was a time in America where one of the most powerful corporations were those behind the tobacco industry, right? And it was, no one thought that we would decrease the amount of people who were smoking cigarettes. But there was a very powerful and aggressive educational campaign out there that showed people the realities of what tobacco was doing to us. And those were fighters. Those were people who were aggressive in something that they believed in. And right now, unfortunately, I feel like we have very few Democrats in Congress who feel strongly enough to stand up, okay, and be leaders and not rely on Republicans playing patty cakes with them, because they are not interested in working with you. They are far too corrupt. They receive far too much money from weapons manufacturers and from the NRA. And if you're gonna sit there and expect them to one day maybe work with you, we're never gonna get anything done.
You know, can I just make one more point about that? People love to wrap themselves in the Second Amendment. Well, realize what that is. That's an amendment to the Constitution, meaning we should amend the Constitution. You know that Second Amendment that was written 400 years ago? Maybe we should update it. Or was it? Yeah, it was 400 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm not a math surgeon. But yes, so maybe we update it. So maybe we go, oh, turns out that amendment's causing a lot of problems in 2017. In the 21st century, that constitutional amendment needs to be amended itself. That's why we have this process called amending, right? So we should have an amendment now for the Second Amendment and get rid of this goddamn idea that we're entitled to own these kind of weapons, because they always leave out well-regulated militia. That's in the Second Amendment, but they ignore it. So I think we need to write another amendment, and we'll start off with that.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we will hear from our very own Jordan Sheridan in regard to his arrest. And then later on in the hour, Tillerson, Trump, drama. Come right back. Hey everyone, welcome back to The Young Turks. Anna Kasparian, Ron Placone, and Jimmy Dore with you. All right, Ben Peck says, TYT Live, remember, use the hashtag TYT Live to tweet to us. There may be fewer ways to stop attacks, but there sure is a hell of a lot we can do to mitigate how bad they are. Exactly. You know, the argument that these gun laws won't stop the bad guys from doing what they do. I mean, you could use that same logic for any other type of crime, right?
Well, you know, criminals will always get their hands on guns. Well, criminals always get their hands on heroin too. Should we make that? I mean, you know, that's the stupid idea.
We've never not had murders. Yeah. People murder people. So
right.
I don't know.
I mean, drunk driving is an example of that. Drunk driving rates decreased significantly after we passed very strict laws against drunk driving.
Right.
Drunk driving still happens, you know. Hasn't eradicated drunk driving, but you have to do something as a lawmaker. The one and only role of government is to protect its citizens, right? And if you can't protect your citizens, then you're worthless. There's really no use for you. That's my philosophical idea of government. Anyway, Screaming for Change says, and I disagree with this, but I regret wasting my emotions feeling bad and sending well wishes to Scalise. Look, regardless of, and we had a debate about this in the studio earlier, regardless of someone's political ideology and regardless of how wrong that person is, it's still a human life. And unlike these Republicans, I actually do value humans and human lives. And you know, Scalise is wrong on this, but he is so badly corrupted by this ridiculous system that we have in place that, you know, unfortunately, he is showing us that he values that lobbying money way more than human lives, including his own. So
yeah, I think it's definitely his lobbying money. It's definitely his base. It's all that stuff. So it's the lobbying money. It's just his place in the world. If he would change, everything would crumble around him. And he's, again, a guy willing to sell out his country for himself. That's what that is.
Right. All right, let's move on to Jordan. Our very own reporter Jordan Sheridan was recently arrested while covering the protests in St. Louis. Now, there were mass arrests in St. Louis following a number of protesters who were blocking the highway, Highway 40 to be specific, and also King's Highway. At King's Highway, to be specific. Also, a police spokeswoman said that about 143 people were arrested for blocking traffic. And so that was to be expected. But luckily, nothing turned violent. None of the protesters were violent whatsoever. What is a cause for concern is how the media was treated simply for doing their job, simply for covering these protests. Jordan Sheridan happened to be one of those reporters. And so the video that you're watching right now is police officials not only arresting the protesters, but later on in this video, you see them first arresting Ty, who is the cameraman for Jordan, and then they proceed to arrest Jordan and detain him. He was detained for 16 hours. Now, he asked several times over and over again, why am I being arrested? Why are they being arrested? They refused to answer any of the questions. Let's put the audio up a little bit so we can watch.
Do not face me again.
He's about to pepper spray me.
He said, do not face me again.
Do not face me again, he said. Do not face me again.
Hey, any weapons on you, sir?
So he just arrested my camera guy there. Great.
Are you arresting the people with cameras first?
No, we're arresting you. You are under arrest.
For what?
For being on the highway. You're under arrest. For,
yes. Okay. So they're locking up the media.
Everybody here is under arrest.
They're locking up the media here.
Hey, Mel, what's up?
What's going on?
Hey, they want to talk to my mom. And I'm with the media.
So they're, so they're arresting, it seems.
All right, so you can watch the rest of Jordan's video on youtube.com/TYTpolitics. And I also did an interview with Jordan after he was released, and you can watch the full interview on youtube.com/TheYoungTurks. But I do want to show you some highlights of that interview so you kind of get a sense of what happened, why he was arrested. They claim that he was blocking the road, but he was filming and reporting on what was going on. And they never charged him with anything. So enough of my commentary or my thoughts. I want to go to the first video where Jordan explains exactly how everything went down. Take a look. Was there ever any official explanation for why they arrested you and other independent journalists?
All I heard was you're all going to jail. I haven't heard anything about why we were arrested. In paperwork in the jail, I did see trespassing. I'm assuming they're saying trespassing on the highway. I don't really get that since it's a public highway, but I guess the lawyers will figure that out. But we got no paperwork, no formal charges. And again, they did not tell the protesters at the protests, to disperse. They didn't tell them you're being arrested for at Standing Rock. Not always, but in many cases, they would tell you this is what you're being arrested for. That didn't happen in this case. And as far as the journalist, when Ty and myself were saying, kind of dumbfounded, actually, like we're the press. Mm-hmm. They did not care. They just arrested us. And this is not a first. They arrested a reporter from the St. Louis Dispatch about a week ago, one of the local papers here. And they've arrested other journalists here covering the protests over the 2 weeks. So either the St. Louis Police Department doesn't have a copy of the Constitution, or they do and they don't care. But no, we were never told why we were being arrested.
I mean, there is a raging debate in the country regarding the First Amendment and our free speech rights. And it always, always has to do with whiny conservatives who specifically go to liberal college campuses and complain because they get protested. And look, we support the arguments made by those conservatives because they should be allowed to speak on those college campuses. But where's the mainstream press when it comes to this issue? You have independent journalists being arrested simply for doing their jobs. That is a violation of the First Amendment. It is absurd that this happened. And Jordan spent 16 hours in a jail for doing his job and never got formally charged for anything.
Well, first of all, I do got to say kudos to Jordan and Ty and the way they handled it. I mean, I did watch the full video of the arrest, and it seemed like they both handled it perfectly. I mean, Jordan was asking the questions, and he was, you know, very diplomatic in the way he handled it. Saw him in D.C. recently. We're both V-neck T-shirt enthusiasts, so kudos. But Steve-O made the comment. I mean, the police surrounded these people. The analogy Steve-O made was it was Game of Thrones style.
Right.
They kind of surrounded them in this group. And gee, it's nice that the police were nonviolent while stripping First Amendment rights away from people. But I'd rather they just not strip First Amendment rights away from people. You know, call me an idealist.
You are idealist. How do you like it?
Wouldn't we live in a great society where you know, our lawmakers and those in positions of power cared as much about our First Amendment rights as they do about our Second Amendment rights?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't seem like they do, right? Because First Amendment rights would allow you to speak truth to power. It would allow the media to uncover and reveal the corruption of those in power, the you know, unlawful actions of those in power. It's just, it's so devastating that not only that this happened, but that it's completely under the radar. No one seems to be paying attention to it.
Oh yeah, and it's not the first. I mean, I like that you brought up how the corporate media is silent. I mean, the corporate media was also silent at Dapple when stuff went down with Amy Schlossberg and Amy Goodman. They were completely silent on that. They never talked about it at all. Instead, they talk about like, oh, the White House folks were rude to people in the briefing room after they turned off their cameras.
It's weird, you know. I talked about this with Thomas Frank. He was a guest on my show, and he was also surprised at the lack of concern on this media's about their journalists being, because the whistleblowers were prosecuted using the Espionage Act. That's what we were talking about. And so now when there's a whistleblower, they just prosecute them now, which is not what we're supposed to do in America. And Barack Obama campaigned on protecting whistleblowers. And so now we just jail the media in the United States. I mean, if you look at what Chelsea Manning did was she gave stuff to a newspaper outlet, right? Same thing with Snowden.
Right.
They gave it to it. These were people trying to help journalists.
Not just help journalists. These were whistleblowers that were disclosing what our government was doing.
It was illegal.
That was illegal. Exactly. And that is the reason why they were met with, such force from our government.
Tortured. Yeah. Chelsea Manning was literally tortured. Right. So and that was under Barack Obama's watch. So, yes, we now live in a surveillance state. They now got rid of habeas corpus. The government now uses the surveillance state to tap the phones and read the emails of journalists. Right. That's why they want to do this. It's not to get terrorists. They want to make sure there aren't any journalists who are getting too close to the corruption that's inside our government. And that's why they want to have every email, text and phone call that a journalist makes or an activist. So that's what this is about. This is about oppression. This is not about protection. Okay, so we live in a surveillance state. But the thing, my point was, it's odd that the media doesn't scream about this more than this media does. Thomas Frank said the same thing happens in academia. Like, there's people who feel like they've made it. They're the tenured professors, and they don't care what happens to the rest of the profession. And he says it feels the same way in the media. I got mine, and I don't care what happens to the rest of them. And it's
so
weird.
True.
It's like first of all, was the title of the video I made about this was called Journalism's Death Rattle Going Unnoticed by Journalists. It was demonetized.
We hurt journalism's feelings.
We hurt journalism's feelings with
journalism
that video. They demonetized that video where I said, all because I said the death rattle of journalism is going unnoticed by journalists.
But that's so weird. I thought they only demonetized videos done by conservatives and classical liberals. Anyway.
Well, I'm a classical liberal. You know, I mean, meaning I'm conservative with libertarian middle, and I'm kind of a centrist. That's what a classic liberal is. We all know
that. You
should
do a Reddit AMA on it.
And then never talk about it?
Yeah, exactly. So I want to go to one more video where Jordan does address the mainstream media's silence and also absence at these protests. Let's go to video 14. And there hasn't been any coverage of your arrest or any journalist being arrested in the mainstream press at all whatsoever, which is a little troublesome considering the fact that there's a huge debate going on in the country in regard to the First Amendment. It turns out that whenever there are criticisms toward those who violate the First Amendment, it has to do with college students who protest speeches by conservative individuals. But when it comes to actual journalists covering a protest, First Amendment violations don't seem to be the concern of anyone, which should worry everyone that works in media, including those in the mainstream. Have you had anyone reach out to you to ask you questions about your experience or why it was that you got arrested?
Literally, I'm like 45 minutes since being released. So between my overbearing Jewish mother calling me and yelling at me, and 16,000 texts. No, but I have been told that there hasn't been any of the, you know, corporate media journalists like you would think, a CNN's Brian Stelter or some of these people that cover media. I've been told, you know, as far as I could see, they haven't said anything, which is surprising to me because, like, whether you're corporate media, independent media, Young Turks, Breitbart, I mean, the bottom line is,
no one should be arrested while they're covering anything unless they are breaking the law. And in this case, you were not breaking the law. You were simply filming what was going on, asking some questions. It's just, it's crazy. I don't know. But if we allow this to continue and we allow, you know, those in power to stop journalists, actual journalists from uncovering what's going on in the country, we don't have a democracy. You know, real journalism is such a huge and important part of a functioning democracy. You don't have a democracy without an informed and educated electorate. And when I say educated, I'm not talking about college degrees. I'm talking about people who know what's going on in the country, who know the facts about what's going on, who know about the corruption, who know about the brutality. And unfortunately, you know, this will continue happening because you're right, Jimmy. Those who have already made it in the corporate media, they're bringing in the money.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They're making money with those $1 million contracts. They're living the good life. They're part of that entire corporate structure, corporate corrupt structure that we have in the country. And it's not real journalism. You know, they'll talk about nonsense 24 hours a day, you know. But they won't talk about things that actually matter to the American people. And when you have real journalists who do that, and we don't protect them from getting arrested like this, and we don't protect our constitutional rights, that's when we have a real problem. That's when we give away our democracy.
Yeah, and in the broader picture, and this is, I think, much ado because of the corporate media, because it starts at the top, is that we've lost the notion of journalism as a public good. Yeah. In our country, we lost the notion of something that we need. And in the corporate media, journalism, investigative journalism is not their first concern or even their fifth concern, I would argue. That's not to say there's no good work to come out of there ever, but it seems more and more few and far between. So now you kind of have this Orwellian presence that's permitted because it's the people that are really the true boots on the ground. And most of the time, they're independent journalists,
right.
And they're the ones that are being greeted with force and oppression.
Exactly. All right, we got to take one more break. Let's do that. And when we come back, I will fill you in on the drama that continues between Rex Tillerson and Donald Trump. Hey guys, welcome back to TYT. Anna, Ron, and Jimmy with you. Here are some TYT lives, which I enjoyed reading. Michelle says, thank you, Jordan Sheridan, for coming to St. Louis to cover what's really happening. Also, Larry Vetter says, police seem to not like cameras, whether it's in theirs or the public. Whether it is theirs or the public's. And also, Dr. Chaos MD says, I enjoy watching movies about dystopian police states. I do not enjoy living in one. Neither do I.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, let's have some fun.
But we are the frog in the pot, right? So it did happen. I mean, we did. Our democracy has been taken from us, and no one seems to care. I mean, 40% of, that's Ben Mankiewicz points out, 40% of the elections this century went to the loser.
Yeah.
Right? And no one cares. Hillary, that's the weirdest thing. Like, Hillary's going around still complaining about and pointing fingers. She doesn't point fingers at the Electoral College.
She does, actually.
But I'm talking about like.
She started pointing fingers at it a little more aggressively after what just happened with the election. But I did hear her, do a couple interviews where she complained about the Electoral College. But look, if you genuinely don't like the Electoral College and you think that it's a system that doesn't really represent the best interests of Americans, then you shouldn't wait until it negatively affects you to say something about it, you mm-hmm. know.
But we ain't getting rid of it. It ain't going anywhere.
No. I mean, I don't think we're going to achieve anything with the lawmakers that we have right now.
So again, it has been taken from you. We no longer have habeas corpus because of Section 1021 of the NDA, which Obama signed. All they have to do is say you're a terrorist and they can throw you in jail forever. And why did they have to put that in? Because according to Chris Hedges, they're already doing it. They're already keeping people detained without it in other places, in Bagram and places like that. And we live in a surveillance state. We don't have a democracy. The Princeton study proves that we live in an oligarchy. Here we are.
I know, Jimmy, but this is all so boring. Can we just talk about Melania Trump's choice of footwear when she was in Puerto Rico? I heard that she was wearing Timberlands.
Yes, I heard this. She was wearing Timberlands.
Yeah, because that's a big news story. Everyone should be talking about that.
Ivanka's corruption is coming out now, too. And it's nice to see that Ivanka's corruption has been such a moderating influence on Trump's corruption.
Oh, sad state of affairs. All right, let's move on to Rex Tillerson. NBC News has spoken to over a dozen White House officials, both former and current White House officials, all of which were anonymous, and found out that there is a lot of tension between Rex Tillerson and Donald Trump. Now, Rex Tillerson, of course, is the Secretary of State, and there have been numerous examples of Donald Trump undercutting Rex Tillerson. There have been examples of Rex Tillerson publicly making statements that seem to conflict with Donald Trump and seems to suggest that he's not really a fan of the president. But before we remind you of all those examples, let me give you the latest updates on what is happening within the White House. Now, Tillerson was, according to NBC News, on the verge of resigning this past summer amid mounting policy disputes and clashes with the White House. And that's according to senior administration officials. Tensions came to a head around the time President Donald Trump delivered a politicized speech to the Boy Scouts of America. Apparently, Rex Tillerson has had very close ties with the Boy Scouts. He was once the president of the Boy Scouts. And so he wasn't too happy with the way that speech went down. Tillerson also had openly disparaged the president, referring to him as a moron after a July 20th meeting at the Pentagon with members of Trump's national security team and cabinet officials. Now, when it comes to other cabinet members and other White House officials trying to convince him to stay, there were a number of people that were listed in this NBC News piece, one of which was Mike Pence, the vice president. According to NBC News, Pence has since spoken to Tillerson about being respectful of the president in meetings and in public, urging that any disagreements be sorted out privately, a White House official said. The official also said that progress has since been made. Then you also have John Kelly and Mattis, who have done what they could to convince Tillerson to remain in the position that he's in, mostly for political reasons. There's been so much chaos and so many people have either resigned or gotten fired in Trump's administration that Kelly and Mattis realized that Tillerson leaving would make things even worse. And so according to these White House officials who spoke to NBC News, he was convinced to stay even though he's been pretty unhappy. Now I want to go to a video featuring NBC's Stephanie Ruhl. And it has to do with Tillerson allegedly calling Trump a moron. Take a look.
The vice president has never had to persuade me to remain as Secretary of State because I have never considered leaving this post.
Because I think you had a chance to listen into what the secretary had to say. Obvious pushback here that the State Department foreshadowed, yet a dozen sources are telling us no, there is real tension between these two.
Pushback, but he didn't deny it. And I'll tell you, my source,
didn't
and that's
deny
only
the moron
single source
piece, right?
For me. My source didn't just say that he called him a moron. He said an effing moron. And think about, put it into context.
I mean, he's right.
Yeah, I mean, why is it so shocking to think that Rex Tillerson had a moment of clarity? I think. And the fact that he didn't deny it, he probably said it. And man, doesn't it make you guys, well, what a great working place where your diplomat is Mike Pence. That's your peacemaker, the guy that thinks there should be electrotherapy on homosexuals and was too conservative for the state of Indiana. That's your diplomat. That's your peacemaker.
The guy who thinks aborted fetuses need a proper burial.
Yeah.
That's Mike Pence. He's the diplomat.
That's your guy. That's your voice of reason in between those two.
Yeah. We live in a scary place when that's the voice of reason. Actually, I was making the point earlier this week that it's a little concerning that the former CEO of ExxonMobil seems to be one of the only individuals within this White House that has moments of clarity, especially when it comes to things like, I don't know, nuclear war.
How about it?
That's crazy. And I could understand Tillerson being frustrated with someone like Donald Trump, who doesn't really seem to have any type of consistent foreign policy, who seems to act erratically and, you know, based on emotion at any given moment. And, you know, we're talking about foreign policy issues that risk the lives of, you know, potentially millions of people. And so Tillerson, although I disagree with him on a number of things, at least understands the weight of these issues, whereas Donald Trump is like, oh, it's 4 a.m. Let me just tweet nonsense that could put a lot of people in harm's way. Now, Tillerson did respond to this NBC piece, which I thought was interesting. And I want you to pay close attention to what he did admit and what he did not admit. Let's go to video number 6.
The vice president has never had to persuade me to remain as Secretary of State because I have never considered leaving this post. Let me tell you what I've learned about this president, whom I did not know before taking this office. He loves his country. He puts Americans and America first. He's smart. He demands results wherever he goes, and he holds those around him accountable for whether they've done the job he's asked them to do. Accountability is one of the bedrock values the president and I share.
Oh, how painful.
Accountability.
Is that?
Oh. He's all about accountability. Oh, I didn't know that. So the beauty of Trump is how he makes otherwise respected people look ridiculous.
Yeah.
So that's Rex Tillerson, a former head of Exxon or whatever. That guy is normally respected, and he just makes him look like a jackass. Oh. That's just one lie after another. He's really smart. He's really good for people, and he's a patriot, and I love him.
Yeah,
I don't understand why he feels the need to backpedal here. I mean, like, look, all you have to be is like, look, have you seen Trump? Do you think he's an easy guy to work for? There's been more turnover at the White House than at a third-party pyramid scheme, and probably the same integrity as one. Just be like, look, it's not easy being here. Yeah, I think about leaving daily. Can you blame me?
What I was telling you off air, it's funny that Tillerson, his breaking point was the Boy Scout speech, right? That's what really caused all the problem. Not only the other stuff, it was the Boy Scout speech that bothered him. Because why? Because now Rex Tillerson is close with the Boy Scouts. He used to be president of the Boy Scouts. He's an Eagle Scout himself, so his life involves the Scouts a lot. Now he's embarrassed, so now it affects him personally. So he understands why Trump's such a jackass, because it affected him personally, like a classic Republican.
Right, exactly. Let's hear from Tillerson and whether or not he ever referred to Trump as a moron.
Could you address the main headline of this story that you called the president a moron? And if not, where do you think these reports or
I'm not going to deal with petty stuff like that. I mean, this is what I don't understand about Washington.
So he did not deny that he called Trump a moron. I believe that he called Trump a moron. He apparently did so, pretty openly during that meeting. And
what part of Washington does he understand? When the Secretary of State calls the president a fucking moron, that it's going to get reported in the press? I don't understand that. I don't get it. How does that happen? You don't understand that they have electronic ways of communicating? What is it that he doesn't understand? That's news when the Secretary of State calls the president a effing moron.
Exactly. And look, I remember in the summer, Tillerson took a vacation
like a
to
hiatus.
Texas, yeah. A hiatus. And that was when people thought, oh, Tillerson's gone.
Yes.
He is done. And I think that is, according to the reporting that we're seeing here, when Pence convinced him to kind of mend the situation with Trump. And look, there were some public displays of tension that we're going to get to in just a second. But first, a response from Trump on this NBC piece. Let's go to graphic 14. He says the NBC News story has just been totally refuted by Secretary Tillerson and Vice President Pence. It is fake news. They should issue an apology to America. But I love how anytime he gets his feelings hurt and his ego bruised, he tries to sell it to the American people as an insult to America.
Yeah.
No. It's not an insult to America. NBC News isn't, you know, in this particular case, doing some sort of disservice to Americans. It's a you feel like it's a disservice to you because it hurt your feelings. But did Tillerson call you a moron? Yeah. Do most Americans think you're a moron? Yeah. Does the international, you know, community consider you a moron?
Yeah.
Okay, get your feelings hurt. You're an idiot. All right. So, and look, the reason why I believe Tillerson called him a moron is because he could barely contain himself during some interviews. So let me give you the first example. Following the hate rally that took place in Charlottesville, Virginia, and following Trump's refusal to condemn those on the right, the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists, Tillerson was asked about Trump's response, and he made it very apparent that he did not agree with Trump's response. He wasn't happy with Trump's response. Let's go to video 8. Take a look.
When the president gets into the kind of controversy he does and the UN committee responds the way it does, it seems to say they begin to doubt whether we're living those values.
I don't believe anyone doubts the American people's values or the commitment of the American government or the government's agencies to advancing those values and defending those values.
And the president's values?
And the president speaks for himself, Chris.
Are you separating yourself from that, sir?
I've made my own comments as to our values as well in a speech I gave to the State Department this past week.
So I'm not separating myself. That's how you could have translated that one.
The president speaks for himself. And then, of course, there's the example from earlier this week where Rex Tillerson was very publicly undercut by Donald Trump in regard to North Korean foreign policy. Now, Tillerson was attempting to de-escalate the situation with North Korea so we don't engage in nuclear war. And Trump didn't like that, so he tweeted about it and said, you know, Tillerson needs to stop negotiating with Little Rocket Man. And Tillerson didn't like that. And he was asked about it during a press conference. Here's his reaction to it.
The back and forth tweets with Kim Jong-un, how is that at all helpful to the situation?
We're going to continue to pursue our diplomatic efforts and hope that that's the way we'll solve this. Thank you.
So again, Trump very publicly undercut his own Secretary of State on Twitter. And even after he did so, Tillerson reiterated that he plans on pursuing a diplomatic approach to further de-escalate the situation so we don't have to engage in something that could be potentially disastrous for the lives of millions of people. Again, it's crazy. ExxonMobil CEO, former ExxonMobil CEO, is the reasonable one here. He's the good guy here.
He's the voice of reason on foreign policy. God bless him. What's in it for him? So is it him trying to set up more business deals for ExxonMobil, or does he really want to serve the country as the Secretary of State? Like, why does he want to do this job obviously can't stand working with?
Who would want to serve as Secretary of State under Trump?
Well, that's why I'm asking.
Right. I look, this is speculation, but obviously there were sanctions placed on Russia. He is the former CEO of ExxonMobil. I'm sure he will find a nice cushy position back in the oil industry, and lifting those sanctions would, you know, help him profit handsomely. So I think it really comes down to that. But, you know, unfortunately, this is more of an Exxon foible because you're not, I mean, I don't know. They might be successful in lifting those sanctions, but you're dealing with an incredibly dangerous president who's unpredictable, irrational, illogical. And, you know, I can't imagine how much Tillerson's going to age you know, in the short stint that he'll remain in this administration.
Right.
I mean, I feel like I would die of a heart attack.
Well, and especially since like the added stress is you're in a situation where you're forced to validate this guy on a daily basis.
Yes,
a knee-jerk reactionary who has completely made a parody of our political process.
Exactly. Anyway, all right, guys, thank you so much for watching Hour One. Thank you to Ron Placone and Jimmy Dore for joining us. Ron, where can everyone find your content?
Follow me on the Twitter at Ron Placone. RonPlacone.com is my website. There you can find my podcast, Five Chords and the Truth. And you can catch me a lot on the Jimmy Dore Show.
That's right. We're having a live Jimmy Dore Show October 16th at the Improv in Hollywood, November 6th in Burbank, California, and November 12th, Portland, Oregon. See you there.
Love it. All right, guys. Let's take a break. And when we come back, Brett Ehrlich and Ida Rodriguez join us for Hour Two.